Hi, I'm Kelly, I'm an addict. I was just saying to the guys up here, I feel more nervous now doing a share than I used to when I was like brand new in the door. I think that's got something to do with my own expectation of myself and the pressure I put on myself to share a message of recovery. Because like Carl asked me to do this share about 2 hours ago. And I was in the middle of a step four, and immediately, like, I want to go no. I want to say no. Nah, like, I can't do a share that last minute. Like, previously, like, if I get lots of notice, I'm sitting there like preparing for this great share, which doesn't happen. But I said yes because I was told in early recovery that like to be of service, and if it's practical, then it's spiritual. So here I am doing service. As I said, I don't sit there anymore like I used to, going over like thoughts about what I'm gonna share. So I'm just gonna open my mouth and like share what I've got from this program. And so far, that's just over 4 years clean, and a life beyond my wildest dreams. To be quite honest. I never thought it was possible to have the life that I've got today. And it's all as a result of coming to NA, because before NA, my life was a complete shit show. I don't want to go into like massive detail about like my past and how I grew up and how that influenced my using. Like, all you need to know is that I ended up fucking like desperate enough to think that someone else might have the answer for once. So just over 4 years ago, I accidentally buzzed this door up here and asked if they could fill my flask up with hot water. And someone on the door said to me, "We can't do that right now, but if you want a coffee and a biscuit, you're welcome to join us." And I know that now to be my first surrender. And I said, "All right, why not?" Like, I was homeless. I was living around the corner where the new Pret is now. There used to be like an office building next to that. And I used to sleep on the steps of that office building. And I didn't have nowhere else to go. No one else wanted to be around me, and I had nowhere else to go. That was the God's honest truth. And so I took the guy up on his offer and thought, yeah, a cup of tea and a biscuit sounds all right to me. And I walked in here, and yous lot were just like sitting here, and there's a few faces in this room tonight that were here and around in NA when I first came about. And yeah, yous were all just sitting here, like, listening to some guy share. I don't remember who it was. I don't remember what he was saying either, to be quite frank. I just remember the feeling of being broken inside and not being able to look at people in the eye. And I remember when the person that took the meeting then were doing the key rings, and they called out the white key ring for surrender. The woman that was sitting next to me just nudged me in the side and went, "Go on, like, get up." And I was like, "What?" Like, I didn't even know. Do you know what? Looking back at it now, I didn't even know what I was doing. And I certainly didn't know what I was doing it for. But and I didn't know it was going to bring me here. Either, like, that's the God's honest truth. I didn't know it was going to bring me out, but I knew that someone else had to know better than me at that particular moment in my life, because every other fucking way I tried, excuse me for the swearing, sorry Dean, was that I tried everything that I could possibly think of. My aunt, my family had come and dragged me out of a crack house and took me down to their house and locked me away in a bedroom for 3 weeks. And still, I come out of that bedroom 3 weeks later, I went back to where I came from, unused. I'd been to drug and alcohol services over and over again. I'd lost my kids, I'd been to prison, I'd overdosed countless times. I'd tried every single thing, like substituting one for another. Like, I've only got a problem with the gear, so I'll put the gear down and I'll just start drinking or snorting some Subutex and then start whacking it up. You know, like, it was relentless. My addiction was fucking relentless. That is the only way I can describe it. So that woman that was sitting there next to me that night knew more than I did at that particular moment in time about what was going on in this room. So I used that, and it propelled me into recovery, and I picked up my white keyring, and I only sat from where you're sitting there, and it felt like the fucking Green Mile. It felt like I was walking forever, and I was sweating, and I must have, just externally, I must have looked like a right mess. But anyway, that's where my journey began. And I've, touch wood and whistling, I haven't had to go back out again. I haven't had to go and do more research. I've stayed around and opened my mind, and I became willing. My willingness was born out of desperation. I heard that at the Living Clean book the other week in a meeting. And I really liked that, like my willingness was born out of desperation and fear. And that's exactly, like, my using took me to such a dark place that I knew I didn't want to go back there anymore. And I know that now to be my surrender. That was my step one. That was my step one in action. I had plenty of examples that told me that I couldn't use. Successfully, no matter how hard I tried or how hard I wanted it to. And then, like, I was really, you hear people come into the rooms and they have trouble with a power greater than themselves or a higher power. And I came into this program with a belief that I didn't have any belief in anything other than myself. My internal core beliefs are that if I'm vulnerable with yous lot, that I'm going to get hurt. Eventually, I'm going to end up getting hurt, or something bad's going to happen. And sometimes I don't even know what that is, but I just feel like something's bad's going to happen. And so to come in here and realise that I had to get a higher power was something really alien to me. My dad's side of the family are Catholic, so I was brought up with this warped belief that the book said this thing, but the people were doing this thing, so there was a conflict. I saw my dad, like, preaching around, like, a certain belief and a certain religion, but he didn't stand up to that belief or religion. Like, he was a philanderer, is that the right word? and so the two things didn't mould. And then I got into treatment early on by a complete fluke. Like, the woman that I was sitting next to in my first meeting made a phone call to a treatment centre that she knew of. And she said, I know a woman that might be able to help you. And this woman was a woman that I'd met in prison like 10 years previously. And she got me into treatment. And I remember I was doing my first, in treatment I had to do steps 1, 2, and 3. And I remember having to give examples of the higher power working in my life when I was using. And I remembered a Christmas Eve, I was out shoplifting with money in my pocket, I might add. But the money was for drugs. The money wasn't for toys for my kids. The money was for drugs. And I went into the last shop. In my head, it was the last shop I was going to go in for the evening. And I got caught. And it was Woolworths. They're not about anymore, but they were then. And they'd done a good toy selection that were good around Christmas. And the guy, the manager, came out and, like, took me up to the main office upstairs. And I was, like, begging him. I was like, you need to let me go, it's Christmas Eve. Like it was a justification for being able to steal out of their shop. And it was like, no, like, I'm calling the police. And we sat there for like an hour, and the police still hadn't arrived. And he rang them back, and the police told him that there'd been a major accident on the A13, and that if he wanted to wait for another 2 hours, then there might be someone with him. But if he didn't, then he should let me go. And it was through pure luck, God incidents, whatever you want to call it, that he said, I'm not having you destroy my Christmas as well. And he let me go. And that was the last Christmas I ever got to spend with my kids. And if that guy hadn't let me go that night, I wouldn't have got to spend that last Christmas with my kids. So there was an example of my higher power working in my life, in my active addiction. So then when I came in these rooms, and all I had to give was an example of me walking and asking for hot water at the buzzer, and then finding youth lot of addicts that had more experience of staying clean than me, I didn't need any more evidence. I didn't need to understand it any more than I did. I was meant to be in these rooms, and I'd fucking earned my seat. And I feel like I've gone off of a bit of a tangent. Like, I just know that I'm meant to be here. And Martin's just given me the 5 minutes. So I've got 4 years of experience of getting clean and staying clean, but in a 15-minute share, you can't give 4 years experience. Like, it's impossible. Like, I've got through some absolutely horrific times through recovery that I never thought I would get through clean, not for a second, but I did. And that was just because I kept coming here, sharing with people that allowed me to be vulnerable with them, because they were the same with me, and done what the suggestions are, like worked the steps, done service, and got a sponsor. And I feel like it's too simple to be real. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's all you need to do. Like, and now I get to give that gift back to 3 other women that I'm sponsoring at the minute, and doing service in the rooms of NA still. And I feel that's so important. Like, I look around the room tonight, like, and I'm really disappointed. Like, I was saying to the guys, it's like a fucking men's meeting. And I've got nothing against you guys, honestly. Like, I've done a step four. but this room in particular means and meant quite a lot to me in my early recovery. And this room used to be rammed. Like, no one else could get a seat in this room. People would be lining up on the steps waiting for people to leave at the break. And a majority of those people used to be women with a lot of clean time. And I'm not seeing it in the rooms anymore. I had a bit of a rant about this at a meeting the other week. I just don't see it anymore. And I don't know why that is. And it's none of my business. All I do know is that I've got a responsibility now to bring that message into the room and share it with other people. And on that note, I will leave it there.